Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911. By the way, the month of October is the month of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. Make sure you're praying your rosary every single day. Remember, Our Lady of Fatima told us that Russia will spread her errors unless we pray the Holy Rosary. Monday, I always look forward to it. I got my brother in Christ, Paul. We go way back. Way back. Paul, welcome. Are you 10-8, my friend?
10-8. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Jess.
That's right. Hey, I'm going to share Psalm the Psalm for an opening prayer. Today's Psalm at Mass. It's Jonah chapter 2. You will rescue my life from the pit, O Lord. Out of my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the midst of the netherworld I cried for help, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood enveloped me. All your breakers and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am banished from your sight. Yet would I again look upon your holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer reached you in your holy temple. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. We're like Job, Paul, in a sense. All of us sometimes feel like, Lord, where are you at? I'm drowning in this abyss called secular humanism. But we know how it ended up for Job, and we know how it's going to end up for us. It's called resurrection. Paul?
Amen. It's just like I always say, Jess, it's another opportunity to demonstrate to the Lord that we love him and we're willing to take a stand against evil.
That's right. Hey, speaking about evil, let's talk about some worldly things before we get into some preternatural things.
Okay.
Nancy Pelosi, who is probably the third most powerful politician in this country, and it's very sad because, I mean, out of the three top politicians, the most powerful ones, Pelosi, Kamala Harris, and Biden, two of them are apostate Catholics.
Wow.
And, Pelosi had a hot mic the other day, Paul, and this was reported on the Rubin Report, the Dave Rubin Report. The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, calling for Congress to pass, she said, quote, the full Obama agenda of building back better, close quote. What do you think about that statement?
Well, let's put it this way. As the article points out, Jess, it's either a Freudian slip or the other alternative is that, and by the way, I'm one that values the wisdom of our elderly. But as we know, when people get up into their 80s, you know, they're just not as sharp as they used to be. So, you know, it's quite possible it just could have been a brain fart. You know, I'm willing to, you know, give her the benefit of the doubt there, but it just goes to show you, she's not as sharp as she used to be. We all know people in their 80s. And, you know, I think at some point it's time to retire from a public life and public office to be the third most powerful person in the free world. I mean, Joe Biden, you look at his age, you look at Nancy Pelosi's age, and then you look at what's the alternative there in the middle between them in the power structures, Kamala Harris, and what was she? She was the most liberal person in Congress. We're not looking too good, are we?
No, we're not. Yeah, remember my parents, rest in peace, when both of them passed away in their 80s. Yeah, they weren't. Yeah. They definitely weren't as lucid, as clear-headed and as sharp as they were when they were 50 and 40 and 30.
Right.
So that's just part of the territory. But the fact is, again, I don't know if it was a Freudian slip, Paula. I'm more leaning towards, well, it's a true statement, but it wasn't meant to come out. It's a true statement, but again.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because of her age, it came out when the teleprompter, you know, probably wasn't, you know, when the microphones were on, when she had a hot mic. But I have no doubt, like it says in the bottom of the article, it says here, Dave Rubin says, look, they tell you exactly what they're doing. So if you wonder where this radical, crazy, leftist, progressive, ever-expanding state, 3.5 trillion equals zero, more and more climate shutdowns and masks and lockdowns and mandates, this has nothing to do with Barack Obama and his third term. I don't think that this is a conspiracy theory. Nancy Pelosi said it right here. Obama's Build Back Better. And Obama himself said he wanted a third term.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
And can you imagine, Jess, if Michelle Obama runs during the next term? That's just, I could see the left recognizing that it's not looking good for them after Joe Biden. I could see them somehow trying to get Kamala Harris and Michelle Obama on the same ticket or some. I could just see something like that.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're really wrong. Paul, you and me lived in California for many, many years. I was born and raised there. And California, Paul, is a very dangerous place. I was there last week at the Sacred Heart Chapel giving a conference on a Wednesday night. It was a packed chapel. A lot of people were there. People were telling me, Jess, when the guy picked me up at the airport, he goes, hey, make sure you lock my car wherever we're at. He says, it's very dangerous now. He goes, this is not the same California, that you left 6 years ago, Jess. So there's a new study put out by the FBI, Paul, on Mondays. It says that the national murder rate increased 30% in California. Well, in the national in 2020. Okay, so that's all over the nation.
Yeah.
But the crime data shows the same thing, that it's also increased that much in California.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all as a result of this Marxist, defund the police program. Now we're seeing the bitter fruits, Paul.
Yeah. Listen, Jess, in California, there was an assembly bill 109. And so, this is why I really don't like stats, because people can get stats to say whatever they want them to say. So in this article, what they're saying is that even though the murder rate went up 30% nationwide, and on average, the murder rate is up, California, basically, in California, they're playing fast and loose with the numbers, and they're redefining certain crimes so that their crime rate actually comes in lower than the national average. You know, there's a saying that people in California say, and I've heard it many times, and I'm not a native Californian, but they say, so goes California, so goes the nation. So yes. you can bet if the crime rate is up nationwide, then it is up exponentially more in California. No matter what California tries to do, no matter what the liberal politicians in California try to do to play fast and loose with the stats.
Yeah, it's simple, Paul, because California it's the most populated state in the nation. So wherever you have more people, you're going to have more violence.
Yes.
So it just stands to reason. It stands to reason that, again, the murder rates are way up. Again, wherever you have this defund the police nonsense, the good people in those areas are paying the price.
Yeah. And let's not forget groups like Black Lives Matter. They originate in California. California gives birth to all this nonsense. So that's out there. And it's very destructive. California, because these liberal politicians have, had a stranglehold on California for so long, people are fleeing California in droves. And it's really sad, because it used to be a beautiful, great state to live in.
Yes, Paul, and I'll tell you why we have this violence in California and around the country. It's because people don't know God. People have lost their faith in God. People don't have a relationship with God.
Amen.
People don't have an interior life. Interior life, Paul, it makes you realize that God is first and everything else is second. And Yeah, and an interior life also makes you realize that we're called to live the golden rule. Natural law tells us that.
Yes.
People like you want to be treated. So a result of people not knowing the Lord, as a result of people not knowing his simple Ten Commandments, this is why we have this violence that's erupted all over the country. We see a Marxist infiltration in the United States, and we see the diminishing influence of Christianity. Am I on to something?
You're on to something. Listen, I used to tell people all the time, God's laws are not designed to ruin our fun or to keep us from, you know, realizing, you know, our full potential. God's laws are in place to protect us. You know, it's no different than when your parents tell you don't play in the street. Why? Because they want to ruin your fun? No, because they know that there's a, you know, a 4,000-pound vehicle gonna you know, drive around the corner and could take your life. You know, your parents invoke these laws to protect you, and God's laws are designed to protect us. And by the way, they're also designed to cause us, you know, once we, you know, we measure ourselves up to God's law, they cause us to flee to him because, you know, we're so woefully unable to fulfill God's law in that way.
Amen. Jesus 911, we're going to move over to another topic. It's kind of a, it's a very hot topic. UFOs. We're going to do a deep dive, me and Paul Clay.
Yeah.
Stick around. We're going to talk about UFOs, aliens in outer space. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Lord, come to our assistance. Lord, make haste. Don't make haste to make haste to help us.
Amen.
We're going to talk about a topic that is very, very mysterious to a lot of Americans, even especially a lot of Catholics. It's aliens. It's UFOs. I have a lot to say about this, and I'm going to lean on an article written by Dr. O'Connor, who's a very sound Orthodox Catholic theologian, a man of faith, and he makes some very good comments that are new to me as well. Some of the stuff that he says I knew. Again, my position is, very quickly, is that these are demonic forces that are trying to act like the Bible says an angel of light. These are demonic manifestations. Why? They're intended to take our eyes off of Jesus, intended to take our eyes off of the faith, the Catholic faith. So we go around chasing these demonic manifestations and spend a whole lifetime, a whole career, get NASA involved, get the government involved, make all these, you know, documentaries and what we're doing and stuff. I think the devil is just laughing at us. These are what I call delusions. And I think St. Paul, he alludes to this in part, where he talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 12, he says, the coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with, here it is, pretended signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception of those who are to perish, because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them upon a strong delusion. I believe the UFOs are part of this delusion. Why? To make them believe what is false. Why? Because they've hardened their heart against God. So God says, all right, I'm gonna help you out like Pharaoh. I'm going to send us such a strong delusion. You're going to chase these shadows for the rest of your life because you don't want to believe in me. You don't want to believe in my gospel truth because you take pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul?
Yes, I was going to tell you, full disclosure, I believe in UFOs. And what I mean by that is, I believe in unidentified flying objects. The problem is they misidentify what those objects are, right? You know,
oh,
we know that,
there's
a phenomena out there that they're experiencing, but we take issue with the fact that we don't believe they're little green men or gray men or however they describe them. They're not even men, but the bottom line is there's UFOs, but we just dispute the origin of those UFOs.
My wife gave me a thumbs up right now.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and my wife loved what you just said right now.
Amen.
She ran into the office right now. She says, that thumbs up, that was good, Paul. She thought She thought you were gonna throw a curveball at me. I believe in you. I said, oh no, what am I doing with Paul? I should have told him to take the day off.
Yeah, I could see your face when I said full disclosure.
What? Hey, Dr. O'Connor does a good job. Let's go through some of his arguments and stuff, and we'll comment on it. Here, he says here, indeed, part of the coming great deception will perhaps in some way involve the notion of aliens. This notion being used to persuade us to change our ways and beliefs. I am concerned that this great deception will be hastened with the imminent release of the U.S. government's hitherto confidential UFO files. Their deadline is June of this year. And I'm equally concerned that many in the Vatican will do their utmost to promote this deception. It wouldn't be the first deception that many prelates in the, I should say, modern day Vatican have promoted lately, especially now that we have a pope who has boasted that he would happily baptize Martians. Lord have mercy on us. And theologians in the Vatican giddy about the idea of aliens. In fact, last year's, and there's an ugly picture in this article, of last year's nativity scene in the Vatican, I fear more than just a hideous piece of art, but perhaps was just a symbol and a signal that they're ready to promote this deception as soon as the time is ripe. I mean, just look at it. This is the ugliest picture that I've ever seen. It looks like, again, it looks like things from outer space that you see on television. Dr. O'Connor says, now I'm aware that there are no clear church dogmas expressly affirming that there are no extraterrestrials. But it is quite clear, but it is quite clearly implicit in church teaching. And he goes on to talk about the word human, Paul.
Sure.
If you want to pick it up from there.
Yeah. Jess, I just a little quick comment on the things that you said. I hope that the leadership in our church, the princes of the church, do not pick up on that theme of aliens, because they would take the church to a new low if they actually acted upon that. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the Great Commission is to go out, you know, and teach all that Jesus commanded and baptize men. He doesn't say anything about baptizing aliens.
and he would have because he created the universe.
Exactly. When he created the universe, he created everything ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. And so, and when he gave man dominion, he gave us that beautiful position. He gave us dominion over what he created. This idea that somehow there's beings out there that are more intelligent than us, that are not preternatural, like you said. Of course, our natures at this particular stage are lower than the angels. We know this.
Hebrews chapter 1.
Yeah, it's just amazing. But anyway, picking up the article. The word human. The church does, however, teach that all of humanity truly descended from the two literal and first humans, Adam and Eve. How many people don't even believe that these days, Jess? You know, they try to, you know, Adam and Eve were literal human beings. Science takes us to that point that, you know, as you follow DNA and, you know, genetic trails, we come from a common source, and there had to be the first two human beings, and they're Adam and Eve, and they weren't monkeys, they were human beings. But human doesn't merely mean that those who descended from Adam and Such a definition of the word human would render the aforementioned church teaching a mere trivial truism, an empty tautology. And we know aforementioned church teaching a mere trivial truism and And we know that no church teachings are like that. Indeed, human has always been defined in both Catholic theology and Catholic philosophy as a rational animal. Rational. From this, it follows that all rational animals are descendants of Adam and Eve, which in turn means that there are no extraterrestrials. Yes, rational. That has to do with us being created in the image of God. It speaks about the fact that we are rational human beings. We are not. We differ from the animals, and there is no room for extraterrestrials.
Yeah, it means also that we're intelligent versus the animals.
Exactly. You know, we have a capacity to reason,
understand,
human reason.
Discern.
Yeah.
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 Upon reflect.
Protests,
yeah.
Yeah, if one protests, but human actually just means rational, incarnate life on this particular planet, then the burden of proof rests on that person. Nowhere that I know of, he says, has the church defined human as necessitating that distinction. Everywhere we see man defined, this definition is given in a way that implies, if not outright, indicates universality. Human simply being the word encompassing all rational incarnate life, as the Catechism itself teaches, quoting Vatican's II binding teaching. Of all visible creatures, in example, not angels, only man is able to know and love his Creator. He, man alone, is called to share in God's own life. And that's in paragraph 356 in the Catechism.
Any rational creature by nature is intrinsically inseparable from the potency and call to know and love God. For God to create a rational being who nevertheless could not know him would be for God to create an evil, which can never be. God can at most allow evil, but never cause it. So from this too, it therefore follows that we can be certain that man is the only visible, non-angelic creature that exists who has rationality, no aliens. Good argument. In other words, he's saying if God made these extraterrestrials, God would have been making these evil beings that have a body
that are abducting people and conducting experiments on them, right?
And God would never do that. God creates everything perfect. Even the demons were created angels. They were created perfect in the beginning. God doesn't create evil. And so these aliens that abduct and these aliens that have these monster-like features, these aliens can't be created by God because, again, God created a rational being, descendants of Adam and Eve. Dr. O'Connor says, the sensus fidelium absolutely rules out aliens. We must consider the fact that the church does teach that the sensus fidelium, that's the sense of the faithful in our hearts, is infallible. The sensus fidelium being the consensus of all the faithful during all the times back to the time of Christ, 2,000 years. Now, if something is infallible, that means it cannot change at any time. It does not merely mean that it was true in its day. Infallibility is by nature permanent. This means that discoveries in, say, the year 2021 about extraterrestrials cannot possibly warrant conclusions that contradict what the sensus fidelium held in the year 1300. A batch of theologians of modernists, even if they reside in the Vatican, deciding in the year 2021 that they believe in the existence or possibility of something that the sensus fidelium held in the year 1300 to be impossible, cannot budge that element of the sensus fidelium one iota. Up until the days of Galileo's discoveries, the sensus fidelium always held that human beings were the only intelligent incarnate life. Dr. O'Connor says, I challenge anyone to find any meaningful amount of material from the millions of pages we have which derived from any point in the church's history from 33 AD to 1500 AD to the time of Galileo that regards the proposition of extraterrestrial intelligent life or any extraterrestrial incarnate life for that matter seriously. Guess what? Don't hold your breath because it's not in the church's teachings. It's not in the sensus fidelium. That is the consensus of the Catholic faithful from the time of Christ to the present moment. This is a novelty being proposed by some modernists, even some modernists, Paul, in the Vatican.
Yeah.
I hear the music, Paul. We'll have to put a hold on it.
Okay.
Two-man car, Jesus 911. Two retired cops that love the Lord, love the Catholic faith. We want to win souls and take people to heaven. That's why we're here. Soul Patrol. We'll continue talking about UFOs, these demonic manifestations. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. Got two lovers of the Lord, of lovers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and two mama's Amen. Boys here. Two men that love the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yes, we are mama's boys of the ultimate mother, the Queen Mother. Paul, we're talking about UFOs. Dr. O'Connor wrote a great article. Comments from the last segment? Comments?
Yeah, Jess. Everybody's heard the saying, those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. And I think this is where we're at right now when it comes to this idea about UFOs. God has given man the truth, Jess, in the beginning. And ever since the fall, man has digressed from order to disorder. And so even within the church, you know, the Catholic Church has, you know, we have defined dogmas. We have the magisterium and we have the deposit of faith given to us, which is solid as a rock. But there are some, unfortunately, you know, in the church who have been affected by modernism. And this modernism then begins to they realize that they can't change doctrine. But what they do is they look at it kind of, well, in this country, we have the Constitution, right? And conservatives, look at the Constitution as, you know, hey, it was given with certain intention. And liberals look at it like, well, you know, it's a living, breathing document and it can change. Well, the liberals in our church, they cannot change doctrine. Well, at least we thought that. I mean, there was an issue on the death penalty where we changed that into catechism. But we have to remember something. The church will straighten all that out. We're just
Absolutely.
In process. This is the process it goes through when error or wrong teaching comes up. Sometimes it takes a while to correct it. But rest assured, it will be corrected.
Amen.
Amen. So anyway, back to what I was saying is, so theologically speaking, you know, we've departed from this orthodoxy and, in some areas. So when we're looking at, I'm losing my train of thought here, but when we're looking at the UFOs, we kind of understand that as man continues to pull away from God, continues to pull away from the truth, they're opened more and more to deception. You read it earlier, the strong delusion that Paul talks about. Many have interpreted that to be, as certainly Daniel O'Connor has, that this very well could be the strong delusion that God is allowing man to just absorb because, the fool says in his heart, there is no God, Jess. And and if you don't have the hope of God, without hope for the future, you don't have power in the present. And people will grab for anything.
That's right. Dr. O'Connor says, Paul, he says, we are therefore struck with that element of the census forever. Similarly, the church gives no clear and explicit dogmas that Christ was celibate, and yet we know with certainty that he was celibate since this has always been an element of the sensus fidelium.
Yep.
And the ridiculous Dan Brown novels, Da Vinci Code, cannot budge that fact one bit, no matter how many theologians pretend it is possible that Christ wasn't celibate. The sensus fidelium tells us he was. As you will see, the Catholic theologian alien supporters themselves implicitly admit that this is a faith essential question since they say that discovering aliens would require us to completely reread the faith. Whether the earth rotates, on the other hand, and other similar questions, has absolutely no effect on the faith. If you could pick it up there, Paul, from Dr. O'Connor, where he talks about an article in Scientific American.
Yeah. An article in Scientific American published a couple of weeks ago, though ostensibly refuting my point on the sensus fidelium here presented, actually only proves my point. The article's very title boldly and falsely claims, until recently, people accepted the fact of aliens in the solar system. The body of the article, however, confuses one small period of history, the era of modernism, with history itself, as it only refers to the period from some 400 years ago until the last century, harboring the widespread belief among scientists in aliens. The entire article contains not a single reference to belief in extraterrestrial life before Galileo. One thing this article does an excellent job of, however, is to demonstrate that those who blindly trust the science when doing so requires leaving aside common sense, good philosophy, or good theology, and always lead to error. Indeed, most, if not practically all, of the post-Galileo astronomers insisted that the moon and Mars and other planets they could see were filled with life.
Well, guess what? There were, when Dr. O'Connor says there were none, and our telescopes prove that. They would proclaim in the 1800s, when telescopes were improved further still, now the science clearly proved extraterrestrial life. That's what they were saying back in the 18th century. The 18th century astronomer who discovered Uranus, William Herschel, insisted that not only were the planets populated with aliens, but so was the sun. Why? It has dark spots. These simply must be holes in its life-supporting atmosphere. Well, the 19th century astronomer and Enlightenment-promoting Christian minister Thomas Dick went on to calculate that there were 50 billion aliens on Venus, 15 billion on Mars, 7 trillion on Jupiter, and 8 trillion on Saturn's rings. Yep. And if you dared contradict these claims with philosophy or theology, then you were, of course, nothing but a rigid philosopher or a dogma-obsessed theologian who failed to acknowledge the superiority of science. These science had the evidence, after all. They had the telescopes, the calculations, and the advanced astronomy. Then came July 14th, 1965, when Mariner 4 sent us back photos and other observations of the surface of Mars during its flyby. Guess what? No magnetic field, virtually no atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but a surface of dead rocks. And the article there linked notes, there were, alas, none of the canals seen by astronomers in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, no evidence of senders of messages. Indeed, the hazy images of a barren, crater-strewn landscape ended speculation that Mars might plausibly be inhabited by higher life forms. Paul, as a result of satellites, now we know that there's nothing out there that these liberals scientists were saying in the 18th and 19th century. Nothing out there.
Yes. Let me just stress the point. Space is a very hostile environment. It is difficult. I mean, nothing survives out there. It is a hostile environment in space. And I'm convinced, Jess, that this whole idea, this started from Darwin. When Darwin came up with his Origin of Species in this supposed educated guess, this theory of where we came from and that basically we evolved. Well, this is nothing more than an extension of, well, if the whole universe is, if we evolved, then when you look at the stars, everything else must have evolved. There must be other life forms that have evolved out there themselves. And so, again, I believe that this whole UFO, and we know it's a relatively, in human history, a modern idea. We talked about that. This is an extension of Darwinism. It's an extension of the theory of evolution, only it's taken it out to the universe.
To space.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Survival of the fittest, only the strong survive. You're right. This is Darwinism on steroids, or Darwinism outside of our realm and into space. That was the brilliant analysis on your part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says only months before these photos were obtained, the famous skeptic, probably atheist, but at least agnostic, Carl Sagan, insisted in a formal scientific paper that the present body of scientific evidence suggests that there's life on Mars. This was the case, Sagan continued, because of photometrically observed waves of darkening in terms of seasonal biological activity. Well, guess what? Too bad Carl Sagan saved his skepticism for God. Remember, Sagan wasn't merely giving a personal opinion. Rather, he was representing a body of scientific evidence. Indeed, those waves on Mars had been observed for over 100 years. Well, the inferences drawn from that entire body of evidence were garbage. We now know those waves were just from dead dust moving around. Similarly, science itself will soon conclude that macroevolution was the biggest hoax in the history of science, despite the fact that the vast majority of scientists now believe it. Paul, it seems like Wow. we're never going to learn our lesson, okay? Men of any given age, they always want to arrogantly regard science above God, as if science is the court of last resort. But again, that's why when one hears somebody say today, come on, it's 2021, get with it, Paul, get with it, Jess. You know what? That's yesterday's news, what the church taught about, aliens or UFOs. I just could tell people what Dr. O'Connor says. Don't succumb to this. This is myopia. Don't succumb to it. Don't succumb to it.
Yep.
We must be sure to never allow what the science says to undermine what we should know is true by the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith and reason.
Amen. Listen, faith and reason. That's what the Catholic Church is all about. And guess what, Jess? We have something called special revelation. We have the Word of God itself. We have sacred scripture that fills in the blanks. We don't have to guess about origins. God tells us.
We'll be right back. Stick around. You can tell we're fired up.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man car, Jesus 911. Two guys that love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the Catholic faith, and we are mama's boys. Absolutely.
Man.
Paul Clay and Jess Romero, by the way, that was a powerful thought that you dropped in my mind, that believing in UFOs is just the extension of Darwinian evolution, this whole survival of the fittest. But now the scientists, they're applying Darwinianism to outer space, and they're making assertions which are unscientific and have no basis in divine revelation or special revelation specifically. So what are the dangers of believing in aliens? Karl Rahner, one of the modernists at Vatican II, one of the very famous Jesuit modernists, very influential theologian during Vatican II, famously posited that aliens were possible. Why doesn't that surprise me that he would say that? Karl Rahner said, quote, "It cannot be proved that multiple incarnations in different histories of salvation is absolutely unthinkable." Dr. O'Connor responds, "Of course it's unthinkable, Father Carl, wherever you're at in eternity right now." Dr. O'Connor says, "Salvation history is just that. Salvation history. Not a salvation history or our salvation history or one salvation history. The phrase has no qualifiers, because it needs no qualifiers. It enjoys a categorically and absolutely spatio-temporally universally unique status." That's us, the human person. "It is the only salvation history, and it is everyone's salvation history. However, if one is merely a theologian and has forgotten what is infinitely more important than advanced theology, namely basic Christian common sense, then this absurdity proposed by Father Rahner is indeed quite thinkable. Paul?
Yeah, you know, he carried his thoughts even further than that. Then maybe there's multiple gods out there with their own little solar system and universe, Jess, who are saving their little planets. I mean, you know, liberalism is a cancer. And when you follow its assertions to the logical conclusions, it makes God, it diminishes God. Our God is the omnipotent God. Our God who calls each star by name.
Wow.
Yes, our God, you know, the heavens don't cross the span of his hand. That's who God is. And anytime you start speculating on aliens and all this other nonsense and possibly other, you know, salvations going on out there in the universe, it just may, you know, in my opinion, it diminishes God as to who he is. And it also diminishes man, because man was created in the Imago Dei. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
The infinite God, the only God. And we were created in his image. We bear his image. If that doesn't show you how important mankind is, I don't know, you know, what will. And
that's
yet
right.
We continually, you know, as we move away from God, we see in culture, we see our elderly being mistreated. We see, you know, homeless people. Man begins to want to save the whale and he forgets about trying to save the male. On and on. Yeah, you know, the male created in the Imago Dei, the image of God, Jess.
Hey, let's good stuff, Paul. There's the current Vatican astronomer in the article, Giuseppe Tanzellini, tragically goes even further, claiming that that discovering alien civilizations will require us to conduct a, quote, here it is. This is a Vatican astronomer right now. Quote, a rereading of the gospel in light of the new data.
Mm.
Quote, close quote. Dr. Connor says, this guy is far from alone in the Vatican and believing in aliens who will or may require us to completely reread our faith and fundamentally change our theology. I love this part. Can you not see how diabolical this is? There are no aliens, but I do not doubt that the Antichrist or his forerunners will try to convince us that there are, and that conveniently he has contact with them. And through this contact, he will strive to compel us to reread our Catholic faith, thus emptying it of its power, emptying it of its power, as St. Paul prophesied for these times. Catholics have nothing to do with this nonsense.
Yep.
But the damage is sadly not restricted to when the aliens are introduced to us. The damage is being done right now. To even think that it is possible, as Father Giuseppe and so many others in the Vatican and throughout the church do, that somehow that something like contact with alien civilizations might one day require us to completely reread the gospel and revise our theology is to even now undermine the confidence and certitude we must have in our faith as it is understood, as it is laid out in public revelation, as it is developed by sacred tradition, as is authoritatively interpreted by the perennial magisterium. I'm not saying we should pretend we have everything figured out. We don't, and we never will. God is a great mystery, and we must stand in awe and humility before him and his creation.
Amen.
But maintaining a posture of humility and awe, as we ought, does not imply that we should be flexible with those truths which we should know to be true. Paul, comment.
Amen. I like, Jess, we have a sacred deposit of faith, period. It's been given unto us. It's been passed down from bishop to bishop to bishop to present day, and that will never change, okay? Period. And yeah, Hollywood has done its job, Jess. Hollywood has essentially conditioned the masses worldwide to even contemplate this idea of aliens. And now you have credible people, or at least, you know, semi-credible people on the news like Tucker Carlson, who, you know, is seriously considering this idea, as he looks into UFOs. This is the danger. This is the deception. And we know that the devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. And again, I will say it again, Jess, if we don't stand for something, and that something is someone, it's the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ,
Amen.
Then we will fall for anything.
Hillary Clinton, when she was running against Donald Trump for president, she said that one of the first things she was going to do if she became president was establish a department within the government just to look into UFOs, and she was going to expend a lot of money into this. Again,
doesn't
surprise me because she's a Luciferian.
Yeah, like Jerry always says, we have a PhD in common sense on this channel.
Amen. Exactly. You're right. Dr. O'Connor says this. He says the justification for saying aliens do exist or might exist is always the same. Here's what the modernists are always telling St. Paul. Given the incredible number of planets out there, it is likely or at least possible that life develops somewhere else as well. Okay, that's continually the modernist Catholic push. Dr. O'Connor says, but the premises of such an assertion are nothing but patently heretical Darwinianism, like you just said. Mm-hmm. Life cannot develop if merely given enough chances to do so. It can only be created by God. It wouldn't matter if there were a trillion times as many planets out there as modern astronomers now think there are, and if the universe were a trillion times as old as they think it is, the chance of life developing would still be zero. Mathematically,
Amen.
Scientifically, and logically impossible.
That's right.
And here's the last thing. It's on a footnote he has here. I'm also aware of the many claims of UFO alien phenomena, although the vast majority of these can be explained by military testing, atmospheric phenomena, optical illusions, manipulated media, weather balloons, mentally unstable people seeing things. It's also true that some testimonies are not so easily cast aside. I'm not going to ignore what a person who, by all accounts, appears trustworthy insists that he himself directly observed. Indeed, we must take these testimonies seriously. However, when one reads these testimonies, they almost universally include elements of incredible darkness and evil. The people themselves who give these testimonies usually speak of some horrible, dark, evil feelings pervading them that they witnessed the UFO or the alien. Often the heinous sexual things are described. All of this just confirms my thesis. Yes, there may be, well, alleged aliens, but again, they aren't aliens at all. Rather, they're demonic manifestations. This just redoubles the importance of rejecting the possibility of actual aliens so that we may remain firm in our insistence. We have nothing to do with these aliens when they appear. Paul, we're done. Go ahead, take it away.
Yes. Yeah, Jess, listen. You talk about this when you talk about spiritual warfare, about when we open certain doors and we allow evil access. And so guess what they found out? That many of these people who were claiming to be been abducted by aliens, almost all of them universally have had some dealings with the occult in their past. Did you hear that? They've had some dealing with the occult. So in other words, they opened certain doors and allowed Satan in to deceive, to do what he does best, and that's to deceive and to lie.
That's right. And again, I know the typical Catholic response, sometimes people will say, well, there's no church teaching on this, Paul. There's no church teaching on this, Jess, so who knows? Well, that may not be all accurate, because there isn't a quote historically from Pope Zachary that indeed may have condemned this notion. And here's, it was made in 748 AD, Pope Zachary, in a letter to St. Boniface from Germany. He says this, quote, As for his perverse and abominable teaching, which he has proclaimed in opposition to God and to his own soul's detriment, if the report of his having spoken thus be true, that is, that there are another world and other men beneath the earth, or even the sun and moon, take counsel and then expel him from the church, strip of his priestly dignity. So we have
a pope.
Yeah, we have a pope. This is what. There is no modernism. There is no modernism here. So there's a theologian by the name of Virgil from Ireland, Father Virgil, who's saying, yeah, I think there's life in outer space. Pope Zachary came down on him like an 800-pound gorilla, Paul.
Like I said, Lord, give us a Pope Zachary today, you know? You know?
Well, Paul, that's a wrap. Again, I think just like you said, I think you had one of the best lines of the show today, that the UFOs are nothing but an extension of Darwinian evolution to try to make us take our eyes off of Jesus. Paul, comments?
Yeah, Jess, beloved, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Believe in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hey, there's only one vax that me and Paul Clare are going to push here. It's called the Eucharist, the blood of Jesus. You got to get, that's the vaccination. That's the medicine of immortality. That's the antidote against sin. And the only virus we're going to be talking about in this show is sin. Stay away from sin. Be holy or die trying.
Amen.
That's a wrap. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. We'll coming up at the Midwest Command Center. We're 10-7. We're out.